This presentation has been previously broadcast.
Thanks for praying with me. Let's pray the chaplet. We'll pray that you can rise above those trials that threaten you in your life and for the difficulties that maybe are yet to come. I was just reflecting on the exaltation of the cross. Today is, of course, that great feast. And a symbol of torture and death has really become a symbol of new life, an instrument that has conquered death. And it was there that Christ hung, and it's there that blood and water poured forth from his side. And we'll be invoking, of course, that coming up in the chaplet. If you want to join me, you know the number, right? 888-914-9149. It's good all day long. I try to take the first five or six calls that come in or that my producers put through to me. And, of course, I want to pray for your intentions that come in via the email, too. I got an email today from a person who's involved, I believe, in law enforcement. And he said to me this, and I guess I'll share his name. Keith, thank you for writing. Keith says, I'm in law enforcement, and I've responded to a fatal car accident earlier this week. He says, it brought back other incidents I've seen over the 20 years plus of doing this type of work. You know, a few years ago, I dealt with a young girl who committed suicide with a firearm, and it has been difficult to get that girl out of my head. It's sometimes hard to go home after work and put a smile on my face, you know, for my family. The chaplain today, Drew, could you please pray for those in law enforcement? I certainly will, I told him. Could you please pray for the EMS, law enforcement, fire, those who have seen things that sometimes no one should have to see. Now, I'm not the only one who has these feelings from time to time. You often say that God is outside of time. Could you pray for that young girl? And may God have mercy on her so that she may one day see heaven. Oh, geez. He just says, if you can really see this on air, please keep me anonymous. I'm sorry about that, Keith. I didn't get to the end of that. Yeah, no, for sure. We will certainly pray for that. And, you know, so many people have lost loved ones from suicide. So many have lost their children, have lost their husbands, their wives, their siblings, even their parents. God is outside of time. He is so merciful. I talk about it all of the time. It is so hard. I'm so grateful for this law enforcement officer to go ahead and to go ahead and ask for prayers, you know, for the things he's seen. I think about those paramedics, those EMS guys, those fire, you know, people see sometimes the ugliest side of humanity, and can be haunting. And I had a lot of divorce in law enforcement. You know, it's unfortunate because sometimes it's hard to separate what you do during the day and come home to your family. I want to pray for their marriages. I want to pray for their protection. I want to pray for the healing of the mind and the heart and the soul of all those who have seen some ugliness, for the soldier in war, for the person who has dealt with rape victims. I want to pray for those who are abused, you know, those who suffer from PTSD, from post-traumatic stress disorder. Let's lift them up today in a particular way. Another person wrote to me today and says, hey, my daughter at 17 in 2002, Drew, she died in a car accident. In 2020, my 33-year-old son died from addiction to alcoholism. I remember the time last year at the end of the month of October. I was so very sad. I was, it was a deep, deep, heavy sadness. I was on my way to pick up my granddaughter from school, and I was driving, and I knew that Relevant Radio prayers would be on, or something. I was searching, and there you were. I began that journey to cling to God's mercy, to cling to his love, and to give my broken heart to him. I cry and I pray with you every day. Thank you for your ministry. I've learned so much. My prayer life has deepened, and I'm happy to be one of your prayer warriors. Would you please pray for me? Because even though my heart is better, I still fall into deep sadness and feel overwhelmed by life every once in a while. Thank you from New Mexico. We'll certainly be praying for you as well. It's hard. I pray to God I never know what it's like to lose a child. It goes against the natural order of things. But I want to pray for that mother in particular and for all those who have suffered loss, whether it's relationships, marriages, children. It's hard. So many things trigger that, and they bring it back. So today is a great day. We'll turn to the mercy of our Lord, and we'll ask him to heal. especially emotional, psychological wounds as well. A couple quick answered prayers here, and then Maggie will be joining me. This person says, look, my college-age daughter has been suffering from a reoccurring debilitating abdominal gastric issue. This went on for 4 to 5 years. No doctor could help her. It got so bad that last spring we really thought that we were going to have to pull her out of college to just let her rest or something. So we really didn't know what to do. We saw several doctors, and we were starting to lose hope this summer. But then I started to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet for her, and with her and her mother. We could via Zoom call. 1 month went by, and she didn't complain about her stomach problems. Then another month went by, still no more complaints. True, it's now been 3 months, and she has yet to complain. It seems she's been healed. The chaplet has worked, and I just want to thank God for that. Maggie, you join me today, as you do every day. It's so good to pray with you. Anything you want to lift up and pray for, or anything you want to bring to our spiritual family here?
Sure, Drew. I'd like to lift up anyone facing a new beginning, that God would not let them be scared, but see the opportunity in front of them and take one bite at a time.
Amen. One step at a time, we'll do that. All right, we'll lift up Maggie's intentions, and we'll pray for you, too. If you are on hold, I'll do my best to get you on. You can always put your intentions on our Twitter page as well. Maggie will bring them to the prayer team here in just a couple decades. The way that you do that is just go to @DrewMarianiShow on Twitter. I think, Maggie, can you get there on our show page as well? I think our Twitter page is there, right? I'm not quite sure. But you can check it out, get those intentions up, and Maggie, of course, voice them for you as well. So let's pray right now. Let's begin, as we do every day, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You expire, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take our first call today. It comes from Lisa. She's praying with us in Monrovia, California. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Drew and Maggie. I would like to ask everyone to please pray for the repose of my dear mom's soul on her 1 year anniversary. And also for my dad, who was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. Oh. And so I just wanted to thank everybody for their heartfelt prayers during this very powerful chaplet. And to thank you, Drew and Maggie, for everything that you do. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so kind, Lisa. Thank you very much for those kind words. Let's pray for your dad now, okay? And sorry for the loss of your mother. Losing a mother, it was so difficult for me. I mean, my father went first, and then my mother. But, gosh, losing a mother, there's a connection there that's just, it's difficult. And Lord, I pray for all those who've lost parents, who've lost children, who've lost siblings, who've lost loved ones, those who today mourn. We want to pray for those who've gone before us, and this is such an important prayer. St. Faustina had made visits. Her angel would take her, and she glimpsed the afterlife. She's seen heaven and hell, but she also had a profound experience in purgatory. And Lord, I pray for those purgatory souls that need our prayers right now, especially our loved ones. And I know by virtue of this prayer, Many souls will be released into paradise today, and I thank you for that. And I ask special graces reach those souls who are most in need of your mercy. I pray for her father, that his your will be done there. If it be your will, I ask for your healing touch, that he may have many more years with Lisa and her family. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, John's praying in Big Rock, Illinois. Hi, John. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Got it.
I know I got to go here quick, but
I
need prayers for myself. I just found out today I have to go in for an MRI. I might have prostate cancer, so I'm just hoping for good results tomorrow. And I've got at least five other friends that need healing too for them. But I tried calling in yesterday, and this was the main purpose for my call yesterday was. I just wanted to let you know how much this prayer has given me comfort this last year. My wife passed away in November, and we were able to say the prayer. All my girls and my parish priest, he led us in the Divine Mercy prayer over her, and she passed away within 2 minutes after we finished. So, you know, just knowing the power of this prayer, knowing that she's in heaven.
Yeah. Amen.
This has been a fantastic blessing for me this year. So just thank you, Sister Faustina, for,
Amen.
You know, doing all of this for us, for being strong and getting us this message. And and you guys, too, for having this prayer on the air. It's awesome. More people need to take advantage of it.
Yeah. Well, John, I am so grateful for your call and the fact that you're praying with us. I'm sorry for the loss of your wife. Boy, I often say to my wife, I hope I go first. I don't know how, you know, you deal with that. It's hard. But what a gift, though. You power this prayer and the promises the Lord gave for the sick and the dying. So what a gift your wife had. And I'm so happy for that. Let's pray right now. Let's pray for you. Let's pray for your health. Let's pray that God just showers you with grace and with healing. And Lord, I pray for all those waiting for their tests, all those waiting for those scans and blood work to come back, all those whose doctors may have given them the hint that perhaps they've got cancer. Christ is the good physician. There is not a disease he cannot heal. There is not a sin he cannot remove. There is not a trouble that he cannot remedy. And so, Lord, I bring you John today on the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. And I think it was Father Seraph Michalenko, the great expert on divine mercy. I think Faustina actually received, I think it was the feast when she received this prayer of the chaplet. The day happened to coincide. So I asked St. Faustina, you promised to intercede from the other side of the veil that your mission would only begin. I give you John. I pray that he'll call back with a real miracle. You know, the Lord told St. Faustina, encourage souls to trust in my mercy, right? Because I love these souls. And I will do everything for them. So, Lord, I pray for healing on this decade. And those with MS, those with Parkinson's, those with ALS, those with cancer. Lord, those diseases that seem to have no answer. I give you the infirm today. And I turn to you with faith, with confidence, and a heart full of trust as I pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Lori in Nakusa, Wisconsin, Maggie, what's coming in today? I know a lot of people are sending us their intentions. In fact, if you want to get an intention in even after the chaplet's over, at Drew Mariani Show, that's a Twitter page. You can also write to me at Drew Mariani. And, of course, send us those answer prayers to Drew at relevantradio.com. You can email them there. What do we need to pray for today, Mag?
Drew, Yvonne wrote to us and she said, my friend Ray was diagnosed with prostate cancer and it's spread to the bones. He cares for his 96-year-old bedridden father. It's just the two of them. She says, I'm asking for a miracle cure.
Amen.
If it's not in God's will to cure him, I'm asking that the Lord be merciful and take his elderly father home first. Ugh, that just breaks my heart. Yeah, it's such a tough situation. Kelly wrote to us and she said, please pray for my daughter's healing. She's depressed and says she has no hope. Please pray that she returns to Jesus. Betsy wrote to us and said, please pray for my grandson's mother, Brianna, who suffers from bipolar disorder. She's under a new medication because of recent trauma, and she's so medicated that it's been difficult for her to function. This was some good news, Drew. Joseph called earlier in the show, and I wanted to include this intention. He called from the East Coast. He said, I'm an evangelical pastor.
Wow.
And I'm seriously considering reverting back to the faith.
Praise God.
He said, I need God's direction.
Great.
Yeah. Great news.
And God's speaking to you, Pastor. Yep. I think he's speaking to you. Wow.
Yep. And then lastly, Anne wrote to us and said, I want to thank our blessed Lord and our Holy Mother for prayers answered for my daughter. I prayed the chaplet that she would get a good job offer. She received an offer offer yesterday. She said, I'm so
anniversary.
Thankful.
Anniversary of the day the Lord revealed the chaplet to St. Faustina. What a gift. What was the pastor's name, Maggie?
Joseph.
Do you have it done? Joseph. Joseph, we're going to be praying for you. I want to pray for him now, especially for those who are feeling the drawl of the Holy Spirit. Those who seek truth will surely find it. And look, this is the Church of Jesus Christ established, period. Look at the beauty that we have with it in the sacramental life. Look at this prayer, the chaplet. I want to pray for John. I want to pray for that call that you had, Maggie, for prostate. I just ask God to heal those with prostate cancer, ovarian cancer today, those women who are waiting on those mammogram tests. Lord, please heal. And today, I really ask for those healings to be abundant for all those who have written in. And let's add Lori as well to our third decade before we pray. Hi, Lori.
Yes. Are you ready?
Hi, Lori. Yeah, I'm all yours.
Oh, hi.
Go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. I want to dedicate my for a deacon. His name is Deacon Mark and his wife, Lori, because I think he got COVID and he's really sick in the hospital. And I want to pray for you guys. You guys are doing a super job. And I want to thank you very much for answering all my prayers. I'm trying to get all my prayers in. So if you can help me with all my prayers that I'm dedicating, I really appreciate it.
You got it. Yeah, we know God
and
knows.
I want to pray.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Also, I want to pray for you guys. No, and hope you have a nice, safe trip down to Egypt or wherever you're going.
Thank you. I'm actually going to Israel,
grateful. Oh, Israel, yeah. And I'll be praying for you when you go to Israel. I've been praying for you guys all the time. I listen to you guys every day before I go to work.
Lord, I'm really grateful. Thank you for that. You've got a generous heart, and we want to reciprocate with our prayers for you right now, for all those. God knows your heart. I know he knows every one of your intentions. And let's really ask the Lord to hear you in a special way today. And Lord, I pray for that deacon. I want to pray for his wife. I want to pray for all those who are sick and battling COVID. Lord, I just give everyone of Lori's intentions, all those that Maggie voiced, and all those united to me now. I know you hear these prayers, and I'm just so grateful for your mercy. I am so grateful for this prayer. I'm so grateful for the fact that we can come together with trust and to turn to you as a heavenly and loving Father. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Chris is praying with us in Illinois. Hi, Chris. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I would like prayers for my son. He was diagnosed with the high-grade urothelial cancer, which is the bladder cancer, and he's going today, right now at 3 o'clock, for a CAT scan for staging that cancer. And I would also like prayers for him because he has become somewhat of a lukewarm Catholic. Mm-hmm. And so for his health, and for his soul. And I would also like to say thanks be to God and thank you for your ministry.
Well, thank you, Chris. Let's pray for you as a mother. It's a special cross that you're carrying today and how much you love your son. And Lord, I just ask you to fortify this mother. And again, these intentions coming in for cancer in a big time way today, people waiting for those scans to come back. You know, sometimes the Lord gives us crosses as a way to draw us closer to him. You know, we realize we can't do this alone, and when things get difficult or they seem super impossible, and we have no other solutions, God is the only solution. And Lord, I pray for those who are in these situations now who have grown lukewarm. If it's through financial difficulty, health problems, whatever it may be, if that's your way of drawing them back, I ask for their conversion, but I also ask that they can feel your presence and see and experience your healing touch. Remedy those situations. I pray against this cancer, that this scan, which is taking place in the hour of mercy, that it come back with great news and send this young man special, special graces. And I pray for the conversion of all those I know and love and have been praying for as well. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our final decade, first call in is Susan. Maybe I can grab an extra call or two. She's praying in Staten Island, New York. Hi, Susan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. Thanks for calling.
Good. I'm asking for prayer because I work in a Catholic church. I'm a housekeeper, and one of our kids that works as a secretary, he went missing 2 o'clock yesterday, and we don't know where he is, and we don't know anything, and we please pray that God brings him back to us. And I also have another petition to the Lord, that my family is so ununited. They are sinners. I pray for conversion of sinners. They are addicted to drugs. They are homeless. They are without jobs. They have mental illness. I'm sorry that it's so much. And I am brokenhearted because the father, who also drinks, has my grandson. And I feel like it's like I need him to help me. I need him to bring Chris back and to heal my family and give us peace, even with my ex-husband. I want him to break up with the girl. I want to reconcile with him. I love him. I don't want him to get hurt or go to hell or none of them. I need them to be healed and to be with the right people that the Lord wants them to be and the right jobs they want to have. The Lord wants.
You poor woman. You're going through so much. You really are. My heart goes out to you. I know so many people are going to be praying for you and for your family. Look, two things. One, this chaplet has such a charism. I don't know why the Lord allows it. We see it with the missing. God seems to bring them back. And Lord, I just pray for this individual that has disappeared. We pray for the safe, prompt return. So once again, we can just praise you for hearing this prayer. We see it also with organ transplants for some reason. I mean, so often we see this. But when you think about somebody who's lost, who's missing, how many of our loved ones, such as your family, are lost, you know, who've strayed from the path of God? We all have loved ones like that. And Lord, today, on the exaltation of the Feast of the Holy Cross, I ask for the grace of conversion to reach these souls, put into their life the right experience, the right circumstance, the right individual, whatever it may be that will bring about their conversion. And I pray for that. And I just give you this brokenhearted mother and just beautiful woman. And we pray for those who are facing with infidelity in their relationships and broken marriages as well, that you'll enter deep and you'll heal and you'll reunify. You'll heal the memories and the wounds of those bitter separations. Let me try Sean, too. We'll sneak him in here on this final decade. He's in Long Island, New York. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Drew. I'm glad to talk to you.
Thank you.
Son was dismissed from Army Officer Candidate School back in May. And now he has another opportunity to reapply.
Good.
And it looks like the Divine Mercy Chaplet has been helping him out a whole lot because I pray it every day with you.
Yeah,
and we just think that he will be accepted and get back to the officer school so he can serve our great country.
Sean, did you write to me before or call in before? Somebody else had a very similar intention. Was it you?
Yeah, it was me, and I'm very happy to get through. I believe our prayer.
Yeah. Yeah, Sean, I hate to do this. Your signal's breaking up, so we're losing you here. But I'm glad because your testament, really, to the power of this prayer. We're going to pray that your son can get back in whatever the obstacle was. That becomes a distant memory, and that the healing and the forgiveness or whatever it might be that's necessary from with the military takes place. Lord, I give you all these situations where people face legal problems, challenges, they're trying to qualify for loans, you know, all these situations where they need mercy or a second chance. I just ask for that right now. And I give you everyone on hold, everyone united to me in prayer for all those intentions that we carry so deeply in our heart. We trust in your mercy. We love you, and we pray now, Heavenly Father, with confidence. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us. And all you angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My new book is called Inquisition, with an emphasis on quiz, and it's Q&A for the curious Catholic and the Catholic curious. It is 100% free.
Relevant Radio runs on horsepower. your horsepower. Donate any vehicle and keep your station running. Join in with thousands of other listeners who have given their unused vehicles at relevantradio.com/car.
Is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, today's a great day, right? The exaltation of the Holy Cross. In the midst of the crisis that our church faces today, it's a feast I think that should be given a great deal of attention because it's a feast that I think gives a great deal of hope. And, you know, any sane person, I probably look at the name of the feast, Exaltation of the Cross, and wonder, well, you Catholics are nuts. What are you up to, right? Why would you exalt an instrument of torture and death? You know, it's like exalting the electric chair or the firing squad, right? Not really. For those of us that are cradle Catholics, you know, we are very familiar with this celebration. And if you're Catholic, you see crucifixes all over the place, right? They don't stir up the horror that they did in the days of the Roman Empire. The Romans would conquer towns and they would randomly pick men and from the town, grab them, strip them, nail them to these crosses. And Bishop Barron, he said this in one of his talks. I was struck by it when he said, it terrified people. Right? This was the form of Roman justice, if you will. You know, they would mete out a lot of their justice by taking those perpetrators, those who went against the Roman Empire, and crucified them. And these were instruments of torture. They were meant to be hung for a long time because they were writhing, screaming, bloody, putrefying billboards. And it said to people that saw them, you don't want to end up here, right? And yet God in his mystery, God in his mercy, has used the cross really as an instrument to give us new life, to conquer the very symbol that it represented, death. And to give us new life. I'm joined today by Father Mark Barron. He's pastoral administrator of Our Lady of Peace Parish in Darien, Illinois. And I'm looking forward to talking to him and get his take on this as well. And feel free to join us as well. I think sometimes Catholics are embarrassed by the cross. And we can talk about it. Maybe you've had that encounter. Maybe you work someplace and you know they tell you hide your cross, or maybe you're embarrassed to show it. Feel free to join us, sound off, share your experiences as well. I'll open the phones in a minute at 888-914-9149. Father Barron, good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Good to be back on the show.
Likewise. Can I ask you a Divine Mercy question before we get into all about the Exaltation of the Cross? Father Seraphim Michalenko, who, of course, was the vice postulator for the cause, foremost expert on Divine Mercy, I believe he once told me, and I wanted to go back and check the date, that there's a connection between this feast day and the chaplet. Of course, yesterday on the 13th, we celebrated the gift of the chaplet of Divine Mercy. It's that day that Faustina, of course, had that vision. The next day, she was in the chapel. That'd be the 14th, and the Lord, told her to add the additional prayers and what He called it. Was there a coincidence? Was there some sort of parallel between this particular feast day and the fact that the Lord gave Saint Faustina the chaplet on that day?
That's a good question. I'm sure that Father Seraphim may have explained that to me at some time in my life as a Marian, but I can't recall enough to be able to.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I was struck by it today when I saw the feast. I know he told me something about it. I'm thinking, what was it that he said? You know, for those who don't know him, we really owe Divine Mercy in large part to this man. He did so much. He was present for the first miracle that led to the beatification. He translated the diary. I mean, he was the foremost expert on this. And before he died, when COVID hit, Father, the Lord put on my heart. He says, I wanted to go to Stockbridge and just bring a camera and set it up, mic him up. And I thought, well, let me just sit here and I'll just talk to him about Divine Mercy for two or three days straight. Just let them go, right? Because what a treasure that would be for us today. And of course, you know, I called your brother, Father Kazimierz Wallach, and you can come up, but you got to be in quarantine for this many days before. And I thought, I can't really do that right
Maybe
now.
Maybe not.
So it passed and never got down. You know, but they were going to let me do it, but I regret that. Anyway, I diverge here. Your thoughts on this feast day too? It's funny because my producer Tom said to me the other day, he says, "I don't know why, but I have this. I think we should call Father Mark Barron for this particular interview." I said, "Why?" He said, "I don't know. It's just an inspiration." I said, "Well, let's follow it." So I know the Holy Spirit's going to work through you. Bring us through this feast day. Give us a better understanding of why we celebrate it and the importance of it.
Well, you know, it's very much connected with Divine Mercy because we know that all power in the world, if you will, flows from the sacred side of Jesus, the blood and water that flows forth from the heart of Christ. That's the power of mercy, and that's the only power that really moves things and is effective in the world. So in many ways, this feast is a celebration of divine mercy, and it's a celebration of divine mercy because it's a celebration of the triumph of good over evil and God's love over sin. I always, when I think about the Feast of the Triumph of the Cross, I always think about actually sporting events because every, you know, famous sporting event is associated with a trophy. You know, the NFL has the Lombardi Trophy. The golf has the Masters and the green jacket. Tennis, Wimbledon, you know, every big sporting event oftentimes is associated with this trophy that these athletes raise and upon victory. And so that trophy is a sign of all the blood, sweat, and tears, of all the hard work that this team or this individual put into to achieving this victory by which they conquered their competitors. So in the same way, today the Feast of the Triumph of the Cross is reminding us, and Saint Andrew Crete says this specifically, that the cross is a trophy of his victory. It's a sign of the Lord's suffering, but it's also in that suffering, it's a trophy of his victory. So that when we look at the cross, we are looking at what the Lord, you know, the blood, sweat, and tears, if you will, that the Lord suffered on our behalf, so that by dying, his divinity could conquer, you know, death, both physical and spiritual death, especially. So that we could benefit from that, from his victory on the cross, we can experience that victory here in our life. So that's just kind of like
I love it. Great points. Matthew was even saying in my head, said, that was a really great point. You know what I find striking too? You know, we have another great feast day tomorrow. Tomorrow is the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. And it goes right up against this exaltation of the cross. And, of course, Our Lady there, you know, saw her tortured and crucified son. I mean, you talk about sorrow. I can't imagine a mother's pain seeing what they did to her son. But so often, the Immaculate Sacred Heart followed by the Immaculate Heart, a lot of these feasts kind of line up. Tomorrow is a great feast of Our Lady. And, of course, you're a great Marian priest. What can we learn from Our Lady at the foot of this cross?
Yeah, I think that I know in our office of reading somewhere it speaks about the cross. You know what? I think it's St. Thomas Aquinas, actually, who speaks about in the cross of Jesus is every virtue. And so we always look to the cross to find strength and to find, basically when we look at the cross, when we meditate on the cross, it actually is meant to have the effect of inspiring us and giving us strength to endure our difficulties. And so when we think of Our Lady at the foot of the cross, what is she doing? But she is gazing upon the cross. She's gazing upon what her son is enduring, not only for the world, but for herself too, because it was by the cross that she received, right? I mean, obviously, we know the grace of the Immaculate Conception. And so the fascinating thing really is that seeing her son, you know, being brutally beat, you know, hanging on the cross, she's gazing upon the power source, and therefore the power source of grace and mercy that allows her to stand there herself. and to participate and share in the suffering of the cross. And yeah, it's just these two feasts, the Feast of the Triumph and our Mother of Sorrows are just two great bookend feasts that are very powerful for us in this month.
Love it. All right. Well, Father, hold the thought. I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, I am going to continue our conversation with Father Mark Barron. We only have a few minutes. If you want to join us, feel free to dial in. It's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Maybe you've been embarrassed by the cross or by having it in your home or your office or wearing it on your person. I know some people are. I'd like to address that too. And I'd love to hear, perhaps if you've gone through that, what you did or how having, you know, how being a witness to the cross or to your faith has impacted other people. Has it sparked conversation? Has it brought about conversion? Has it created arguments? I don't know. We'll take a look at that, carrying our cross and so much more as we celebrate today a great feast, the exaltation of the Holy Cross.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Connect with Drew on the Relevant Radio app.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
According to tradition, St. Helen, mother of the Emperor Constantine, during a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, discovered fragments of the true cross. On September the 14th of 326 AD, Helen delivered the relic to the Bishop of Jerusalem, who, lifting it up before the faithful, invited them to adore it.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that's an interesting story. Today, of course, we remember the great Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. I'm joined by Father Mark Barron. Yeah, early in the 4th century, St. Helena, she was the mother of the Roman Emperor Constantine, as you heard. She went on a quest. And think about this. I was always struck by this. She went to Jerusalem years after Christ had been crucified there on Golgotha. And she went in search of, you know, all the holy places of Christ's life. I mean, she was probably one of these very, you know, one of the first to really make those types of pilgrimages, if you will. And she actually raised the 2nd century temple to Aphrodite, which tradition held at the time was built over the Lord's tomb, right? And then her son, Constantine, of course, built the Basilica of the Holy Sepulchre on that spot. And when they were digging, when they were going through the excavations, workers there, they found three crosses. They found three crosses. Could it be Christ and the good thief and the other thief? Well, legend has it that, you know, she wanted to see if this was indeed the cross that Christ was crucified on. And they brought the sick, and when it touched a dying woman, she was completely healed and didn't happen on the other crosses. And they recognized that must be the cross of Christ, and they brought it back, and the cross immediately became an object of veneration after that. And even in Jerusalem, you know, on Good Friday, towards the end of the 4th century, they would take this relic out. And they also found the inscription that Pilate ordered above the Christ's head. And people would come by and they would kiss this cross. Kind of a tradition that we still hold today. My guest, Father Mark Barron, and today we're talking a little bit about this. We'll grab a couple of your telephone calls here. But Father, before I do, the connection between divine mercy and this particular feast day, I know we talked about some of it, but you know, I know the Lord told Saint Faustina in particular to meditate on His passion. Yeah. It is meritorious. Yeah. There's a power in it. Maybe you can explain a little bit more.
There's a big power, and you know, a couple things here. There's a few quotes where the Lord says, as you, I'm sure you know these, Drew, but He speaks about how there's more merit to 1 hour meditating on My sorrowful passion than there is to a whole year of flagellation that draws blood. Yeah. And He says, you know, I give great graces to souls who meditate devoutly on My passion. And my daughter, meditate frequently on the sufferings which I have undergone for your sake, and then nothing of what you suffer for Me will seem great for you. And so, again, this call by the Lord to meditate on His sufferings, because, again, this is the power source, really, of all grace. And through that grace, we are able to be virtuous. And that's what orders our lives rightly. And so, you know, I heard your segment, Drew, as I was driving home today with the Monsignor talking about fear and stuff like that.
Rosetta, yeah.
And oftentimes what paralyzes us is a fear of suffering. Yeah. And so I think the Lord is telling us when we meditate on his sufferings, then it helps to put our sufferings in perspective. But also what it does is that it opens us up to the grace and the power of his love that through which he bore our sufferings on the cross. And so it's kind of like an exchange. We give him our stuff. When we meditate on his passion, we're kind of transferring our junk, our fears to him, and he's transferring to us that grace by which we can kind of embrace, if you will, the struggles that he's asking us to go through at this time.
It's funny, Maggie was sharing with me when we were talking about the feast earlier today. She said that Bernadette Subaru, the great visionary of Lourdes, where there have been more documented healings than any other place, she has this very famous quote where she says, "Oh, Jesus, I no longer feel my cross when I think of yours." You know,
yeah.
And that's such the case. Do you know Dr. Bob Tabali, Father Barron, by any chance? Have you ever met him?
I don't.
Well, you're going to meet him. I know you're going to be traveling with him to Ireland soon. Yeah. He's online in Dubuque, Iowa. He wants to join the conversation.
Oh, good.
Dr. Bob, good afternoon. Good to have you on with Father Barron.
It's great to be talking with you. And when you were talking about Mary at the foot of the cross,
yeah,
my heart was exploding with excitement because I want to tell you about this piece of artwork that we had commissioned for the Shrine of the Innocents, which is a project I've been working with. Dedicated to children who died through abortion, miscarriage, or illness or trauma in their age of innocence. And the concept is one moment in time through two different sets of eyes. Jesus through Mary's eyes and Mary through Jesus' eyes. Same moment in time, two perspectives. And very, very powerful, especially the painting of Mary at the foot of the cross with John and the other Mary behind her, and the look of anguish and concern and fear and excitement and sadness and you know, just a mix of emotions. And we showed these at the Elevate conference a few years ago before COVID, but we're going to be displaying them again on November 5th. We're having a shameless plug here. We're having a luncheon at the Marriott in Hoffman Estates, and I'd be happy to invite you to come and take a look at the paintings there. It's November 5th, but they're just very, very meaningful, and we considered that these paintings would move people to enter into the passion of mother and child. Just similar passions that mothers have when they lose a miscarriage, or women have when they've had an abortion, or families have when they've lost a child through illness or trauma. It's the same type of deep passion that Jesus that Mary suffered watching her son die on the cross. It's just amazing what you were talking about. For me, so.
Now, Father, I'll let you respond.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, it's it's that piercing of the heart, because and that's what you're referring to, Dr. Bob, when, you know, in terms of, you know, thinking about a woman, a mother losing her child in whatever capacity she loses that child is a piercing of the heart, or a father. Likewise, there's a piercing of the heart when you suffer the loss of a child. And tomorrow, that's what we celebrate, really, with the sorrowful mother. And the interesting thing about this is that kind of like when you mentioned about your heart exploded with love, well, that's kind of like this gets to the core. And again, this is Faustina in the diary. You know, we go to the experts here, but like how she says that suffering is the tinder of love, right? So when we enter into that suffering and we embrace it, like it becomes the fuel for a deeper love. And I think, Drew, that's when you were talking about St. Bernadette, and she speaks about how her suffering no longer becomes suffering. It's because it's imbued with love, and it, and you know, when the power of love is released, you know, it just conquers many things. And this is really the celebration of the Feast of the Triumph of the Cross, because that's the victory. The victory of the cross of Jesus is the victory of love over evil and hate. That's what it is. And so,
Dr. Bob, I can't wait to check out your shrine. How's that coming along? You just about done with that? It's for any mother that has lost a child, right? Whether it's miscarriage or abortion.
Mothers and fathers and
families.
Yeah,
beautiful.
We're ready to start accepting pilgrims, if I can call it that way. But it's a work in progress. Good. It's a job that's not yet done. We'd invite other people to help us get it done.
Yeah. Amen to that. Well, Doctor, thank you. I appreciate you being here. He went through a storm. Trying to get this thing together, and I told him personally, you know what? It's going to touch a lot of lives. You know, the more beautiful the work St. Faustina writes, the greater the storm that will rage against it. And I'm sure a lot of good grace is going to come from it. Joe in Passaic, New Jersey. Only got about a minute for you, but go right ahead, sir.
Hey, just a quickie. Thanks to Relevant Radio for everything that they do. I drive a school bus, and I have in an area a lot of Muslim kids. We pass by a lot of Catholic churches, and every time you pass by, I make the sign of the cross.
Right.
A lot of them are looking at me like, what is this guy doing? So I guess that's the exaltation of the cross. So, yeah.
Oh, I love it. A great suggestion. Right, Father? Amen. There's lots of ways we can honor the cross and spread that devotion. I think it's great. Every time I pass a church, I do that. But, Father, I'm going to give you the final 30 seconds here for those who are listening.
Yeah, I'll just say this, and this is just about confession. Think about this. Whenever we go to confession and we receive absolution from sin, especially if we fall into mortal sin, It's like the Lord is raising his cross every time absolution falls upon the soul. Wow. He's raising that cross because that's the ultimate kind of like fruit of his cross. And he's raising that, he's raising the cross like Matt Stafford wrote the Lombardi Trophy last February. So.
I love it. Lift high the cross. Father, look forward to seeing you soon. I know we'll be together on Monday. I have to take a short break. If you have somebody living in an impure life, stay with me.